We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Todd Zielecki. Todd, a lot of people tuning
in. A
lot
what
of people.
A segue.
Welcome.
Hi.
No, but here's what I promise, Todd. I'm not going to yell at you, my friend.
All right.
I am going to be a welcoming gentleman because I know you're not used to that. So welcome aboard.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great, man. We're doing great. Now, I was watching the game. Sixth inning is when the Sixers started, flipped over, started paying more attention to that. But yesterday, Pete McCann really spoke at length about Scott Kingery and the opportunity he could have at third base. Just in the press box, what's being talked about his future with the Phils?
Well, for Scott Kingery, you know, I talked to the Phillies farm director, Joe Jordan, about this yesterday because, you know, I saw some video that he had been taking some ground balls at third base. He is not moving to third base. That's not part of the plan right now. It's just kind of change things up during the season, maybe try to make him a little bit more versatile, but that is definitely not part of his future. They see him as a second baseman, and that makes things interesting in the future with Cesar Hernandez being one of their better players and also playing second base. I personally don't see a position change for either of them. I think it would really be trying to force something, you know, a square peg into a round hole. But they're trying to keep their options open, which isn't the worst thing in the world. But I do think that Scott Kingery's future career is at second base.
Yeah, it's just one of those things you think that's just, hey, it doesn't hurt. Go ahead and take a couple of reps over there, basically, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Cesar Hernandez took reps in the minor leagues at third base and shortstop, you know.
And center field.
And center field. All the outfielders, they play left field, right field, center field. You know, Mickey Moniak, their number one draft pick 2 years ago, he's a center fielder. Adam Haseley, their number one draft pick this year, he's a center fielder. Those guys are going to start playing around the outfield as well because, hey, you know, if both of those guys happen to pan out, somebody's going to have to play somewhere other than center. So they're going to try to get them all around the field just so when the situation comes for promotion down the road, they're ready to play.
Last night, I think Scott Kingery went hitless, but I think he walked once or twice for the Iron Pigs last night in a weird game where they scored six runs and only four hits. But, I mean, we all check the box scores now. When the big league team isn't doing well, everyone's looking down on the farm. What are you hearing about Scott Kingery in terms of things that he really needs to work on?
I tell you what, he's the one guy I think that I've seen and that's been kind of coming up through the system over the years where he really seems to do a little bit of everything. Like, I really try to temper my excitement on prospects because I've seen so many guys come up and fail. You know, remember, I've said this before, Dominic Brown a few years ago was the number one midseason prospect in Major League Baseball, and look how he turned out. But I really don't know how many holes that Scott Kingery has in his game. I really think that of all the guys at AAA right now, you know, he might be the safest bet out of any of them to be kind of that next, you know, all-star caliber player. I really do. He can hit. He can hit for power. He's got tremendous speed. He's unbelievable defensively. I mean, some of the plays I've seen on video this year in AAA and AA and some of the plays I saw in spring training this year in Clearwater were ridiculous, the plays that this guy can make. So, you know, I think he's going to be, like I said, there's no sure thing, but I would put my money on him.
I wish we could have played music to that. It was beautiful.
And
Todd,
we will.
We were all looking at each other, you know, just enjoying the moment.
I'm a little misty-eyed. Yes. I said I wouldn't yell there, Todd, but I want to scream your praises. That is
all right,
beautiful.
I appreciate
thing.
That.
Well, how are they going to make him fail? Is that why they're going to put him at third base? Because they're determined to see him fail?
Yeah, exactly. Now, the one thing that gets people fired up is they say, well, when's Scott Kingery going to come up? And now this is the part that again, everybody gets angry when I say I actually agree with this. I do not bring up Scott Kingery this year. Yeah. I do not bring up Scott Kingery this year.
It's time to start yelling at him.
Yeah,
like
it's time to start yelling at me. Now, the best example I can give is Chris Bryant with the Cubs, NL MVP last season. One of the best players in Major League Baseball, obviously. He was putting up better numbers than what Scott Kingery was putting up in 2014 with the Cubs in AA and AAA. The Cubs sat him in the minor leagues all season long, and they waited until the second week of April in 2015 to call him up. And the reason why they did that is because they wanted to keep him under team control for an extra year. So instead of becoming a free agent after the 2020 season, now they have Chris Bryant guaranteed under contract through the 2021 season. And in my mind, that makes all the sense in the world. You didn't want to waste Chris Bryant in 2014 on a totally lost season. And I think it's safe to say that 2017 is a totally lost season for the Phillies. So I don't want to start his service time clock in a 100-plus lost season. I want to have Scott Kingery around through 2024 when the Phillies hypothetically... When they are going to be a good team.
Now yeah, I totally see why Angelo yells at you all the time.
I get it. People are tired of seeing...
What about
what
my
seeing.
Feelings?
Yeah, what about your feelings? people are tired of seeing this Phillies team lose. Yep. I get it, so you want to see somebody different. But you know what? The consolation prizes, you're probably going to see Rhys Hoskins at some point. You're going to see Dylan Cousins at some point. The way that J.P. Crawford is playing right now, he's been on fire the last 2 weeks. I think you're going to see him at some point, Jorge Alfaro at some point. So you're going to see some of these other prospects in AAA before the end of the season. You're just probably not, if the Phillies do what I think they should do, you're probably not going to see Scott Kingery.
Doesn't make any sense to me, Todd, because you're in a market that the money's not an issue. You know, I mean, you're looking 4 years. I mean, you're trying to say 4 years down the road here. You know, he's going to hit for $30 million or whatever it is. I mean, he's going to hit it anyway.
It's not a money issue. It's a guaranteed issue. I think the Phillies, you know, if Scott Kingery does what they think he's going to do, I don't think they have any problem paying him the money in arbitration or in free agency. But it's not that absolute guarantee. Just like the Cubs.
Well, Bryant should have sued them.
Well, I mean that, and you know what? That's part of the rule. That is part of the collective bargaining agreement. And absolutely, that was a big contention. Actually, if you remember a couple years ago, the Phillies waited until May 15th of 2015 to call Michael Franco up for the same exact reason. They wanted to, you know, it had to do with service time. And Bryant and Franco both had filed grievances.
Well, do you think Judge would have been as good if the Yankees hadn't brought him up in late in the season?
Do I think he wouldn't have been as good?
Yeah, do you think he did he not develop?
No, I think he would have been. Yeah, I don't think this is going to affect – I don't think it would have affected Aaron Judge. I don't think it would have affected, you know, Scott Kingery
so,
at all.
So if the Yankees and the Phillies are in the same playing field, the same poker table, why wouldn't the Yankees have sat him?
That's a great question. I don't know what the Yankees' situation is.
They want to win.
Boom. Be careful, Todd.
What is Scott Kingery going to do this season?
He's going to play and be on a major league field and feel comfortable and maybe give everybody else some hope. It's not everybody just to watch the team. I can see long term.
In terms of watching the team, who are we talking about?
Yeah. Me. People that are interested in the field. This kid's a big name now. I mean, he really is. I mean, you've got a guy who, arguably, if you told me he was playing this weekend, you would sell, I believe they would sell another 5,000 tickets. And God knows how many eyes would watch.
You know, I personally, I don't believe that because I actually went back recently and looked at some of the debuts of some of the top Phillies guys over the past 15, 20 years. And the numbers were not good. The attendance numbers were not good. Jimmy Rollins averaged – he had 15,000 people show up at his first start. Chase Utley, 16,000. Michael Franco, who was Scott Kingery before Scott Kingery, 23,000. Ryan Howard had 35,000, but that was about $5,000 fewer than the season average. So, in other words – and I looked at their first starts at home after that too – all those guys that we just mentioned, and three of them are some of the three of the greatest players in Phillies history, all under the season averages for attendance. So in other words, you know, Scott Kingery comes up, the Phillies would announce on today that Scott Kingery is going to come up Friday. They're not going to – I would be stunned if they had 25,000, 30,000 fans at the game. I think they would have a marginal walk-up perhaps. But to me, for a marginal walk-up, you don't burn an entire year of guaranteed Scott Kingery. Isn't there
something wrong with a player who belongs in the major leagues telling him he can't play. There's nobody really blocking him.
Nope.
Well, Cesar Hernandez is blocking him.
Yeah,
and, I'm not even sure that, you know, I don't think that this stuff that I've mentioned with the service time is coming into play right now. I think the Phillies want to see him play a little bit more in AAA. But that's the other thing you mentioned. You said nobody's blocking Cesar Hernandez right now.
He can play third, right?
Yeah.
No, he can't. He can't play third. He can't play third. They've tried to have him play third and shortstop. He's a second baseman. So that's the other part of the factor, too, is they have to try to figure out what they're going to do with Cesar Hernandez. Now, what I would do is I would try to trade Cesar in the offseason and then make Scott Kingery my opening day second baseman in 2018.
Well, who's your backup second baseman now, and why is he there?
Well, the second baseman backups right now are not. Well, backup second baseman right now is supposed to be Howie Kendrick. He's hurt. But after that, it's slim pickings. It's Ty Kelly and Andres Blanco, which is not very good.
Speaking of guys that are switching positions, and Al and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I don't know much about Rhys Hoskins other than what I see in the box score and what I read in the game stories. I don't have a good scouting report on him at all. But of the guys, that, especially with Nick Williams being called up, and I know it's been a crowded outfield, especially with prospects for the Phils, is there any chance of Hoskins moving to a corner spot?
No, I think he's primarily a first baseman. You know, I've just heard that that's his position, much like Tommy Joseph, that first base is his position. So I think that's another thing to watch, too, is if a team came calling for Tommy Joseph at the trade deadline, you know, a team may be looking for a power bat that can, you know, play a little bit of first base, maybe DH a little bit. I think the Phillies absolutely should be open to that, because I do believe that they think that Rhys Hoskins can become a very good big league first baseman. So they're going to have to start moving some of these pieces, figuring who they want to stay and who they want to go. It's kind of like with Jim Thome and Ryan Howard in 2005. You know, they actually ended up shopping both of those guys and ultimately made the right call and traded Jim Thome. But I think if the Phillies absolutely should be open to listening to Tommy Joseph.
Tommy Joseph? I mean, to me, he's done everything you could expect. I mean, I think it's a little risky to just assume the other guy's better.
Well, yeah, it is risky, but they're going to have to make that decision, and that's the only way you're going to be able to find out about Hoskins. You know, it's the same thing with Scott Kingery in a sense. You know, he is no guarantee. You know, as great as he's played and as much as I think he's going to hit, we've seen so many prospects fail before. Dominic Brown, you know, like I said earlier, Michael Franco was like the next can't-miss guy, and now everybody wants him moved off of third base. You know, you're going to have to – Cesar Hernandez, before he got hurt, was, I mean, arguably their all-star. Not saying much, but arguably their all-star.
right.
you know, so you have to figure out, are you really going to trade a guy who's maybe one of your better players right now that you know for a fact in the big leagues for a guy in AAA who's putting up great numbers? Now, I personally would do that because I do believe in Scott Kingery, but there's definitely some risk involved in that. And at first base with Rhys Hoskins.
Todd, looking at some of the other guys on the roster right now, I mean, I'm with you as far as, and I've been a big Tommy Joseph fan, but he's not a guy that I'm protecting, let's put it that way.
Right.
But a guy that's really come into his own as a leader on this team seems to be Freddy Galvis. And if you go a month ago, you talk about him getting yelling at the team and basically venting his frustrations. And you talked at length about that, a week ago?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one guy that, are the Phillies looking at him as, is it, he's really a guy they want to keep around to help some of the younger guys come up?
I think they would love to keep Freddy around. He's very popular amongst the coaches. You know, Pete loves him. I think the teammates love him. And, yeah, like I said last week, if there's one guy in that clubhouse that I know really, truly hates losing games and is really upset about all the losing, it's Freddy Galvis. You know, think about it. The guy told Pete Maccannon before a 10-game road or 9-game road trip out west, his wife is pregnant, he's like, my wife has family in Philly. I'm staying back out west to play these games because he wanted to play so badly. I mean, that's – you know, I couldn't get away with that with my wife, but that's a heck of a dedication on his part, and I commend him for it. But now the problem is if J.P. Crawford starts hitting, what do you do there, you know? But I think
Galvis can play third.
Freddie Galvis actually probably could play some third. Mm-hmm. He's that good defensively. So, you know, but to keep Freddie around, I think the Phillies would love to find a way to keep him around. But again, he could also be a trade candidate. If a team comes calling for Freddie Galvis and JP keeps hitting, maybe they pull the trigger on that as well, which, again, is a risk because JP's only been hitting for the last 2 weeks or so.
Todd Zielecki, MLB.com. Before we let you go, are there two names you can throw me that you think are getting the most attention right now as far as trade bait?
I think it's Pat Neshek for sure. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely going to be traded before the trade deadline. I would be absolutely stunned if he is around. And I think the Phillies are going to be motivated to move Jeremy Hellickson as well.
Okay, wow. Well, again, like they were last year and just couldn't pull the trigger.
Sorry, right. We couldn't yell at you today. Yeah.
We tried.
That's all right. I can take it.
Todd Zielecki building up all our hopes about Scott Kingery before shooting them all down. Todd Zielecki, great talking to you, my man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.